Welcome back to the Wise Divine Woman podcast, where I help women go from fed up to faith fueled, providing them with information just about anything. Today, I have Patrice Malloy, and she is a financial advisor. But today, we're talking about a holistic approach to wealth and finances as we're going through this beautiful transitional stage in our lives. Welcome to the show, Patrice.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
Yes, I am very thankful that you accepted the invite, because I think it's really important for women to, one, have their ducks in a row, and two, sometimes we get taken sideline, right? Or we get surprised with financial obstacles or even life obstacles. Many women during this during this transitional stage of menopause or trying to find ourselves are set back with purpose and or finances or layoff. And it's just been a very unmanageable sort of transition for some women. Do you find it's been a strange few years? And I know for myself, it's always finding what my heart's passion is and then being financially ready for the next 30, 40 years, right?
Yes, yes. I love that. So to answer your question, I do find that typically when I'm working with clients and when I'm having conversations with colleagues and other women, there is a challenge with being prepared financially. And one of the myths that I have heard, I don't know if you're familiar with this, but it is that women do not manage money well. We do not have the ability or capability of creating wealth and abundance. And I have to say that that's just not true. So one of my goals is absolutely to debunk that myth and to make sure that people understand that women are capable of building wealth. And when we do, we make the world move. Mm-hmm. We shift and impact communities. We do amazing things. We're very giving and philanthropic. So I think it's very important for us to be able to command that power and take it back and be able to really do some things just to make this world a better place.
I hear you. I think so. Listening to my own children, I find children, they're young adults, but listening to them, it's, I find that they have far more of an open communication about finances with their spouses or with their, even with their friends. It's a very open communication. And I always have said, in hindsight, make sure everything is balanced and you have a plan going forward. Never mind your, you know, with your future spouse, what children or home looks like, but definitely what finances look like. And that needs to be an upfront aspect. And even for us, maybe even for now in high school, finances sure was maybe talked about, maybe accounting class or math class, but never in the depth that we actually need to understand finances. So I think we've all been set, you know, a wrong footing when it comes to finances and such. So when you're looking at, and you have a woman in front of you that has been, let's say, divorced or, you know, or laid off and or trying to plan something from nothing, how do you help them?
Oh my goodness. So a couple of ways. So first and foremost, I can tell you that I've experienced layoffs. I've experienced, you know, influx in employment, as we like to call it, not necessarily being prepared at the time because it was very unexpected. But one of the things that I highly recommend is really starting with their personal finances, going through their bank accounts, understanding what it is that we can cut out immediately. That's not, you know, something that they have to continue spending. So that's the first kind of line of defense, is to figure out what can we not waste our money on initially. And then the second thing is to really, now that we've taken some of those auxiliary expenses out, what can we save and put into a savings account or an emergency account? And in this instance, I would call it an emergency account. But if the roles were reversed and it was, you know, to plan, I like to call it our freedom fund, right? So it's whatever you want to leverage this money for, to do something for you, to travel, to, you know, hire like, you know, a housekeeper or a chef or something that's going to make you feel better and take some of that weight and time away from you having to do it. So it's really looking through those things as well. And then it is, how do we get back up on our feet? How do we get back into finding a position that's going to allow us to have income flowing freely? Or how do we leverage our skills and expertise that we had in the corporate world or whatever it was that we were doing when we were employed and create a business? One of my things I love talking about is how do we create a business? Because you can control a lot more when you are the owner of your business and you're kind of the owner of your destiny, right? You don't have to worry about somebody letting you go when
So
it's your
true.
business. So it's those kinds of conversations that I would like to have with them.
It's very true, very true. And I think with a lot of women that are, of course, let's say 55 or plus, you know, those that retirement is either happening or that retirement is kind of looking forward. And again, it's this, okay, now what? Now what are we doing? And what brought you into this business? Like, that is always a great question. I love asking, like, why finances? Why helping women on this journey?
For a couple of reasons. So first and foremost, when I was in school and when I was coming up, we did not really talk about money in our family, right? So it was quite taboo, especially for women, to be talking about money openly and freely. So that was kind of the first thing. When I got to college, they didn't talk about money either. And I most certainly was not prepared, quite honestly, once I graduated from college. So I don't know if you're if this happened to you, but when I was in school, this is back in like the late 90s, it was campus is full of different kinds of people coming in. Some of those people are credit card companies and they're giving you these credit cards and you're thinking, ooh, I've got all this free money. And because I did not have the knowledge I should have had, I did not leverage that credit card wisely. So that kind of got me into some trouble. So that was one of the first things that I realized that I needed to really inform myself and educate myself on. How do I leverage this wisely? Because technically it is someone else's money, but I want to make sure that I'm doing something that's going to grow me when I'm using it. So am I going to leverage this money to purchase an asset? So it's really having those kinds of conversations. Transition from school, my first job was working in banking. So I've been in banking for over 20 years. I've done program management for various financial banks and institutions in the government. So I've been in that kind of finance space for a long time. And even in that space, you're still not fully educated on what you need to do. There's always this kind of locked gate. And if you're not in the right rooms at the right times, having the right conversations, you really don't have access to that information. So some of the things that I saw just did not really sit well with me. And it really had to do with women, how they were treated, their inability to access funding, credit, loans, et cetera, for purchasing homes and those types of things. So I said to myself, when I leave this world, I'm going to make sure that I'm able to empower women and educate them on how to navigate this landscape because a lot of things are unknown. And when you don't know what you don't know, right, you're just kind of left behind. So I did not want that to be the case any further. So that's kind of what got me into this space.
I love it. I love it. It's so important. It's so important because it once a woman understands the basics, the foundation of financial workings, then anything is possible. Right? She's going to teach her children. She's going to teach her community. That's just part of our heart. We share knowledge. We share our wisdom. And again, this is just so incredible. And I love how your face just lights up when you talk about it. I just like, this girl loves her job.
I do.
I think it's fantastic. So it's such a volatile industry out there right now. And I don't know, for myself, I've been looking at, like, what exactly is the stock market, and what exactly, where am I supposed to be investing? And yes, you have your different savings accounts, and yes, you have your different tax accounts, and things are much different from Canada to the States. But it's so fascinating. How are you helping women manage this so it's such a fast moving world, not only of AI, but when it comes to helping them decide how to invest, and what is that approach like? How is that looking when you have someone in front of you who is just really wanting to move?
So for me, and I do have securities licenses, but I don't focus on the investment piece. I really focus on empowering women to do things like leverage life insurance policies, make sure that their money is moving appropriately. We have areas where we have savings so that we can leverage that to invest. And we have conversations about some of the things that they'd like to accomplish and achieve. But when we do talk about investing, it's are you looking at things that are maybe sustainable, right? Do you want to look at those types of stocks and companies to invest in? Are you looking for things that are going to appreciate? So the Apples, the Googles, the companies that you'll find on the S&P 500, right? So it's really understanding what it is that you're looking for. I do, when we have those conversations, though, talk about having diverse risks, right? So you don't want to put everything all into the risky investments, but you don't necessarily want to focus on just remaining in the very kind of vanilla things like bonds, right? So it's really having that mixture of things that are going to help you achieve your financial goals. But I also want to talk about things like real estate, right? So investing in real estate investment trusts and things like that. So it's really being forward thinking and open to a lot of different types of investments that you can, participate in. And so I really get an understanding of what they want to accomplish with the investments, and then we go from there. Now I do partner with some other women who are explicitly focused on the investment piece. They have the assets under management. So we partner together, but we have those conversations. And then I come back into it and talk about what are the tax implications of investing.
Exactly. Right. We have to pay our dues and taxes and being strategic about it. Even as you had mentioned, becoming a business owner definitely has its challenges, but it does have its benefits, especially when it comes to tax strategies. And I love that. So when you're looking at someone who's wanting to start a business, you had mentioned a holistic approach, or even when they're looking into finances. What did you mean by a holistic approach?
So typically, or historically, I should say, when you think about a financial advisor or an accountant, you think of kind of, a stuffy person. They're not very social. They just want to take the information, do the checks and balances and kind of give it back to you. When I talk about holistic, I think about having actual conversations. I want to get to know you. I want to understand what your goals and dreams are. And then we put a blueprint together on how to accomplish that. A lot of times, especially with women, we have to remind them that we need to leave space for self-care. We need to leave space for thinking about how can I take some of these mundane or administrative tasks or things off of my plate and maybe give them to somebody who enjoys doing them, right? So it's being able to have time for yourself and still be able to give to your family, your spouse, and all the other, things that pull us in so many directions on a day-to-day basis and not feel burned out. So that's what I mean by a holistic approach. It's you as a person, what are your goals? You as a business owner, what are your goals? And you as a future millionaire, which I like to say, what are those goals? So are we thinking about scaling our business for sale in the future? How do we position ourselves to be able to have the highest valuation possible? So it's really having all of those conversations, right? Do for retirement, do you have a life insurance policy in place? Have you been giving to your solo 401k or your simplified employee pension plan? So it's really, again, that holistic approach to where do we want to be in 3, 5, 10, 15 years, and then how do we get there?
I love it. I love it. What is some of the wisdom that you share? Like, what are some top tips when you're looking at sharing the beginner parts of things? Like, what are you asking women to list? What are you asking them to really focus in on when it comes to finding out the basics, the foundation of what their financial goals are? Does that make sense?
So it does. So what I like to do is actually really have them understand what their money story is, but the origin story of why they treat money the way they do is. So I think that when we really think about that, that's the best way to really understand some of the habits that we've created. And then we identify how to maybe shift some of those habits if they're not serving us in the best way possible. I don't know if you've heard this, but typically by the age of 7, we understand what our money story is based on what parents have said, based on what we viewed, based on some of the experiences that we've had. So, for instance, if you went to a store with mom and dad and you wanted to get a piece of candy and they said, no, we can't afford that, right? Sometimes we internalize that as we don't have what we need in order to afford the things that we want. So it's having those conversations. It's really identifying what it was that got us to where we are in the first place, and then reframing our mindsets to say, no, we are worthy of abundance. Wealth is supposed to come to us. God did not create us to be living in lack and, to not have the things that we desire. So it's really just, again, shifting that mindset and saying, we are worthy. Now we just need to put the plans in place to command that money and that wealth and abundance to us. And that's what I'd like to start with when I work with clients.
I love that. I love that. I love that we need to dissect what exactly our habits are and understanding that. And then there are some moments where we have to step back and understand the emotional connection to those things. And maybe that's going to be a better approach, taking care of those emotional tags or emotional responses that we may have. Like we may hoard things, or perhaps we buy things out of an emotional response, just the same as eating. Eating may have an emotional response to things, or we respond to emotions by eating. We respond to spending sometimes, maybe more than we want to admit, we respond to spending because of our emotions. And again, there's this fear and these things. So really, when it comes to looking at our finances, we do need to sit and understand and perhaps meditate over it. And as much as I remind women, when it comes to their health and understanding their triggers, you have to do that in each facet, whether it's eating or whether it's emotional things, you know, but purchase habits really do need to be understood. Is it something out of an emotional need, or is it something that you actually need? And it is hard. It's so hard. And I would believe you would have such a great network of women with you, because if you identify those things, you're like, okay, you need to see this person right here, because I can sense and understand that perhaps it's a bigger need that needs to take care of before we start moving forward in breaking down spending habits and starting to build wealth. And it's just, wow, my head's just like, it doesn't matter what you're talking about. All of those factors play a huge role, right?
Absolutely. And I'm glad that you actually brought that up. There is something so interesting, especially when I'm speaking with women about that emotional attachment to money, whether, like you said, it was a bad day, or, you know, well, I didn't have it when I was younger, so I need to have these things now, even though we don't absolutely really need them, right? It's just kind of nice to have. And it's like a trophy of, you know, look what I have now. So I agree with you. And one thing I also understand, that when I am talking to clients or prospective clients, if their personal finances are not in order, typically their business is in disarray as well. So just like you said, having that kind of come to Jesus moment, like, what is it that really took place? And just being real and raw and transparent and vulnerable. And I think too, when it comes to talking about money and finances, that is one of the most vulnerable things that we can talk about, because there's a lot of shame and guilt, you know, associated with some of the decisions that we've made in the past.
Yeah.
So again, when we talk about the holistic approach, it's, we're not here to shame you. We're here to understand where some of these habits came from, and then reverse those habits and then create healthy habits when it comes to your money moving forward.
That is so true. Like that shame, there's so much shame around money, whether you have too much or not enough. And it's so understandable in that aspect to me, because it's again, so emotionally driven for so many. And there's a lot of emotions that are involved with it. And we do need to break free from those sometimes bondages that we may place upon ourselves, and then finding those people who can help us. And I think in a lot of cases, when you're 55 or older, you're 45 or 50, and you're into this new transition, you're into maybe a new career, you're really filling your cup, and you're really being passionate about the things, there's going to be some points that you need to forgive yourself over. You can't hold on to mistakes that you did in your 20s, like those dang credit cards from college. I hear you on that. But again, it's okay. And we need to forgive ourselves for these moments and being able to move forward in financial prosperity, right? It's so important. And even, it's just, there's a lot, and it does take time to sit with someone like yourself and to gather these thoughts and have a strategy and not just jump into things, but to take things step by step and again, dissect things and understand, look for what needs to be taken care of, like emotionally, mentally, physically, and even with clearing things in the home that no longer serve purpose, right? That allow you to have the financial freedom to, again, be able to invest money differently. So I think that's incredible, Incredible.
One thing I'd like to add, if you don't mind, Dana,
I don't
one
mind.
of the things too that I do, and I've done myself personally when we talk about the forgiveness, is writing myself a letter about some of the mistakes that I've made and then burning it and saying, that was the past. We can't continue to bring that into the future. Because even now, sometimes I'm like, should I have done that? even at this point, being in the industry and understanding some of the ins and outs and intricacies of the finance world, it's like, was that the best decision? So it's not something that's going to be immediate, right? We didn't find ourselves in our positions overnight. So it's not going to be an overnight, fix. So it's really being graceful with yourself and being careful and just understanding that it's okay if we don't figure out what's going to happen right away. So I love
That's,
that you said that and you shared that.
yeah, it's so important. It's honestly so important. So in your business, tell us like how we get in touch with you. Tell us more about what services that you offer to women, and yeah, your love to things.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much. So first and foremost, so I do focus on women who are corporate change makers, who are entrepreneurs, who are powerhouse CEOs, who are really ready to take their finances to the next level. So my goal is just to help you make more, to multiply your money, and then to leverage the tax code to be able to keep more of that in your pocket. So that is essentially what I do. And I do that by providing fractional CFO services, tax planning, and strategy. So in compliance as well. So when we talk about doing the actual tax returns, so we have the conversations about that as well. But I again wanted that kind of holistic approach to, we've got the money, now what do we do? How do we make more of it? How do we keep more of it? And then what do we do as far as future planning? So it's really kind of that journey or that ascension, if you will. And you can get in touch with me by heading to my website. You can find me at MalloyGroupInc.com or on Facebook at Patrice J. Malloy, as well as Instagram and LinkedIn.
I think that is so amazing. I know we're everywhere, and I honestly love your passion to how you
Thank
approach
you.
everything, and it's just so timely, to be honest. And I think for women who are even sidelined with divorce, or I shouldn't say sidelined, I should say have been given the opportunity for a new life for some. And again, I think that you would be able to help them again if they are a CEO, if they have their own business, and if they have their own enterprise. Again, it is a very specific approach when it comes to separation, and how are they going to leverage that? And I think that is for many, because COVID certainly shifted the tide on separations for many couples throughout North America, unfortunately, or fortunately. And again, it's just like, okay, so how are women really strategizing for themselves when it comes to this? Because it has to be different than just a regular, I'm retiring and I want to do this project and I want to be a successful entrepreneur. But when you already are a successful entrepreneur, how are you moving forward?
That's
I know it's a
absolutely
big
true.
question. It's a huge question. So.
And I'm just thinking because I actually had a couple conversations recently about women who were business owners, their businesses were growing, and we had to kind of talk about some of those uncomfortable things. So, how did you structure your business? Is this a partnership with your spouse? Are you the only person who's on the business articles of organization or incorporation, right? So it's really being strategic about that. It's connecting with, I have lawyer friends as well. So do you have the right legal team to help you kind of shift through this and make sure that your business is not going to be touched? Or if so, how do we distribute these assets? So it's having those conversations and just being transparent. Like there is a possibility based on how you structured things before you came to me that you may have to part with some of it. But what we can do is connect with people who I know can support you and making sure that you don't have to give more away, right, than absolutely necessary. So that's a real thing. One thing I also tell women, especially, is to always have your own bank accounts. Just always, even if it's like in the names of your children, you want to have something that separates you. So in the event of an emergency, you're still able to take care of yourself and your children and your family without
It's
having to
so
worry
important.
about,
Yeah,
what
so
happens
important.
during that divorce process.
It's so important. It's like the I've always been a you should have like that joint where it's house, all your things together, and then your separate fund money, right? Your separate things. So you don't have to, but I think that's really changed from, let's say, our parents or our grandparents. That certainly has changed, and accessibility to banking is so much easier now.
Yes.
But again, it's very important to make sure, again, you have your ducks in a row and you're covered, and you always have your little slush fund or emergency funds. And it's in any situation, right? In any situation, even in illness, you need to make sure that everything is covered and such. So it's so amazing to have met you this morning, Patricia. And we could talk hours about all sorts of different things. And I'm so thankful that you could spare some time during your day. And I hope many of you listening here would reach out if you're looking for someone to help you as an entrepreneur, as a business owner, as a CEO, and you're looking to strategize moving forward, whether expanding or strategizing for your exit plan. You know, reach out to Patrice, because I love her smile, I love her energy, and I think that she would just be the right person for you. So before we leave, what is a word of wisdom out of everything that you've learned in life when it comes to wealth and health and a holistic approach to life? What is a word of wisdom?
Oh my goodness. Especially when it comes to health and time, it's approach it as if you will not get it back. So it's take care of yourself the best way you possibly can. I know, especially as women, we are putting ourselves on the back burners. We're doing everything for everybody else, and we're leaving kind of like the last bits for ourselves. I think we need to flip it. We need to be okay with being selfish sometimes and making sure that we are taken care of so that we can then pour into other people.
I love I love that. Thank you so much, Patrice, for joining me today on The Wise Divine Woman. And all the information about Patrice and her business will be in the show notes. Thank you again for joining us on the Wise Divine Woman podcast, where we help you go from fed up to faith fueled, helping you to become the wise divine woman that you've been called to be. Thank you.
I love that. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome.